Okay, we're talking about divine secrets of the productive life, and we've covered two of them, and today we're going to look at the third key or the secret to a productive life, and that is defeating daily distractions. Defeating daily distractions. We have to go back again to the parable. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word." Now watch this. We're going to look. This is the Jesus interpretation. Then we're going to go back to the natural illustration and the cares of this world. Notice underline, and the deceitfulness of riches. Notice, and the lust of other things. Enter in and what? Choke the word, and it becomes what? So we're talking tonight about defeating the daily distractions, defeating, overcoming, battling is war. You have to stand against. It's spiritual warfare. It's disguised, but it's spiritual warfare. We got to defeat the daily distractions, daily, occurring every day, daily, occurring every day. Satan throws distractions at us every single day, every single day. Let's talk about a distraction. A distraction is a diversion. It's a diversion. A distraction is a person or thing that pulls your attention, your efforts, and your resources in another direction. It could be a person, it could be a thing, but it's pulling your time, it's pulling your efforts, it's pulling your resources in another direction. Satan wants to divert us, pull our attention and resources and efforts away from him and efforts away from God's word. Let's talk about the thorny ground. The thorny ground is the preoccupied mind. It's what?
It's the preoccupied mind.
It is the distracted Christian. Preoccupied Christians have a multiplicity of interests, a multiplicity, and especially in the world that we're in today. The thorny ground here are Christians who put the affairs of this life ahead of their spiritual life. And it's so very easy to do. You know, I've said this to our staff. We have between 50 and 60, 70 staff people that work at the church. And I've said this over and over and over. It's a difference between being in the word and being around it.
That's right.
You know, you can work in the church and be around it and around it. And if you're not careful, you'll think that you're really in the word. Christians who fill their lives, the thorny ground, this is the thorny ground. Christians who fill their lives with so many, listen carefully now, with so many good things. Come and say good things.
Good things.
Good things that they don't have time for God's word. So let's look at the natural illustration. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 3 and 7. Jesus would tell a natural illustration. He says that the soil goes and sows seed. And now he's talking about how the seed fell into thorny ground. It says, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Verse 7. "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it." And watch this. "It yielded no fruit." So we got good seed. Come on, say good seed.
Good seed.
And you got good ground, but in that ground you got thorns. You got weeds. Now, the seed needs certain things to be productive, right? It needs nutrients, needs water, needs light, it needs space. What Jesus is saying now, that the nutrients, the light, the water, and the space that should have gone to the seed sprout, the good seed sprout, went to the thorns. Okay. So the thorns took up what the seed sprout should have got. Can you see the illustration there? That's what it means when it says choked it out. In other words, the thorns grew up, the seed sprout couldn't get the sun. Took the nutrients from the soil, took the light, took the nutrients, took the water from the soil. So the thorn, the seed sprout withered away because what should have come to it went to the thorns. Does that make sense to you? That's the illustration that he's given us there. Now, when we go back again to Mark 4, verse 18 and 19, let's look at this again. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now look at the categories. And the cares of this world. Now we're going to see what the thorns are. The cares of this world and the what? The deceitfulness of riches and what? The lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. So we got three categories of distractions. We got three categories of distractions. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write it down like this, but you'll be able to do it. If you can't do it right now, you can do it later, but I want you to write it down like this. There are mind distractions. Those are the cares of the world. Mind distractions. Distractions of our priorities. Priority distractions. And then thirdly, they're time distractions. Mind distractions are the cares of the world. Priority distractions are the deceitfulness of riches. And time distractions are the lust of other things. Now, if you got it down like the way I have it, because see, I got it written down like this. See how I got it written down? I got mind, cares of the world, priorities, deceitfulness of the riches, and time, lust of other things. But outside, I got some other words. Let me add them to you. Mind, distractions, or cares of the world. These are responsibilities. Say that, responsibility. Priorities, distractions of the deceitfulness of riches. These are economic pursuits. Now, I'm giving you an overview. We're going to come back and look at each one of them. These are economic pursuits. And then time distractions, the lust of other things, are enjoyments. Responsibilities, economic pursuits, and enjoyments. So now let's look at each category of distraction. And as I talk about these distractions, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about you and think about. And then when I get down to where I am, I'll show you why. For me, it can be very challenging. OK, it's something that you have to be conscious of, a knowledge of, and you have to fight through some things, believe through some things, confess through some things in order to protect the word. Okay, because there is someone trying to separate you from it. So cares of this world are responsibilities. And I'll add this, they are legitimate responsibilities. Legitimate responsibilities. The word cares there means to worry or to be pulled in different directions in your mind. And that's, we say sometimes my mind is all over the place. My mind is over the place. So worry is a form of care. It's when your thoughts are being pulled in different directions. In fact, you can be sitting here right now and I could be preaching and your mind can be thinking, did I leave the crock pot on? you could be thinking, I got to do what? And the word can be going forth. And Satan be hitting you with all kinds of thoughts and things. And if you're not careful, you'll miss everything that's been said and not even know that you were under attack. That's right. That's why it's so insidious that Satan is so subtle in it that we can be under attack. We don't even know it. Because we're thinking about something we really got to do. You know, you may have a project you got to get out in the morning. I got a funeral tomorrow, okay? I got a funeral tomorrow. I could be sitting there thinking, oh, I got to get to this funeral, you know? And yet the word is going forth, okay? Cares can be worries, distractions in your minds, but listen at this one. Cares can also be weighed down and overwhelmed by too many responsibilities. Weighed down and overwhelmed by what? Too many responsibilities and anxieties and worry associated with these responsibilities. Allow me to give you an illustration of this. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is a very familiar text, and you're going to see it, but it happens all the time. It says, now came to pass that they went that Jesus, he is Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. We all heard of Martha and Mary. Watch this. Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, I want you to look at that. I want you to look at that because I want you to see something. The Bible says that she had a sister. So Martha had a sister called Mary. Now, listen at the words and I'm going to ask you a question. Which also sat at Jesus' feet. What does that mean? Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. That means that they both were sitting there. Jesus was in their home and he was sharing the word with them. And both of them were sitting there listening to him. Got it? Now watch this. Watch this. But Martha cumbered about what? If you read that in the Amplified Bible, it uses the word distracted. She's cumbered about much servant, which simply means she got up and went in the kitchen. Because after all, we got to feed these 12 folk. She's thinking, somebody got to do something around here. So she gets up, go in the kitchen, she start cooking because she's going to feed the 12 guys. This is legitimate, isn't it? Somebody got to do the cooking,
right?
Unless we ain't going to have food after you finish preaching, right? So she gets up, she goes, and the Bible says she's cumbered. She's distracted. She's pulled away. And then she got upset. Watch this. She came and said to the Lord, doeth not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her. So she's frustrated. Watch this. She's frustrated, which tells me that she had already told Mary, you better get in this kitchen and help me. And Mary said, I'm not coming in there. I'm talking to the Lord. Because she had called her in the kitchen, and she went in the kitchen, and she said, I need some help. She said, God, I can't be doing this. And she left and went there. So she said, won't you tell her that she needs to help me? Now watch what Jesus' reply is. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're what? Careful. You're careful and troubled about what?
Me.
Watch this. But one thing is
needful.
And Mary has
chosen.
Now listen carefully now. You're careful and troubled. And I know this right here. Listen, I can give an invitation right after I finish this. And some of y'all will come to the altar. Some of y'all will have to come to the altar. Because you're careful. And you trouble about many things. But now watch this. He says, but one thing is needful. He's not saying the other stuff is not important, but one thing is critical, he's saying. He says, one thing is critical. Now watch this. And Mary has chosen. In other words, there were a lot of things coming at Mary. But Mary decided, I'm going to listen to the word. This is very important. So she worked through the distraction. She battled through the distraction. It was not bad stuff. The cooking and the cleaning and all that was not bad things. Usually it's not bad stuff. But Satan is working very, very, very hard to keep us busy. And he's working very hard to cause us to be overwhelmed by what? Responsibilities. Now listen at this. And then you'll see Will you go ahead and put Hebrews 12 up there? Let me give you some of these responsibilities and you tell me whether these are legitimate. Family. Mm-hmm. Home. Mm-hmm. Work. Mm-hmm. Church. Mm-hmm. School. Mm-hmm. Community. Mm-hmm. Caregiving. Mm-hmm. Relationships. Mm-hmm. Okay. You just told me all that stuff. Now, see, you done told me that all nothing I had on the list was bad. Right? So isn't it challenging sometimes? It's very challenging to manage all those things. And so it was easier for me early in my ministry when my church was small, nobody knew me, no responsibilities, you ain't got a whole lot. And so I'm getting that word and I'm meditating and looking up these verses and looking up that verses. And now I have to fight. You see what I'm saying? I have to fight. I got to work through all these distractions and make sure that I don't get away from it. Because if you're not careful, you love Jesus, you love God, and if you're not careful, you'll get totally distracted. And it'll be days. You look up and weeks later, you ain't seen the Bible. I mean, you know, the only time you see the Bible is when you're at church. The only time you've seen it. And it can be very dangerous because, see, you're around it. You're around it, but you're not spending any time with it. You know what I mean? Any time with it, because you're doing stuff. And I've seen people who've had caregiving responsibilities. For example, when I was raised not by my birth parents, but I was raised by older people, and then my daddy got down. I was working in Kentucky, and my mother called me and said, I need some help. I quit my job, came to Birmingham, and I was 24/7 caregiving, and my dad was deteriorating. There are people who are in, that is tough. Mm-hmm. Caregiving is tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough on you mentally, it's tough on you emotionally. And he had what we would call today Alzheimer's. He just walk around. I got to watch him all day. And then he's deteriorating. I was literally wore out. Okay. There's so many people have legitimate caregiving responsibilities. And I'm saying you got to work through it. You got to find a way. Whether it's live stream or app or something, you gotta find a way. So right now for me, just managing all those things, managing marriage, managing home, managing church, managing this, it can be very challenging. But it's helpful when you understand the game. Does that make sense to you? You got to understand that Satan works through the cares of this world. And these cares don't have Satan written on them. You know, they don't have Satan written on them. So you got to be aware of he's trying to distract you and weigh you down. Now look at what this scripture says. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and what? It's called the fatigue factor. It's called the fatigue factor. Weigh you down with just stuff. Wow. To the point where you like this. Shoot, I'm tired. I don't feel like reading no Bible. I look at that television or something. I don't feel like reading nothing. Don't feel like. So what he's done, he's beat you through the fatigue factor. In those moments, you have to ask the Spirit of God to give you grace. You have to give him. And you know what? Isaiah 40, he says that he'll give power to the faint. Yes. And those that have no strength, he'll increase their strength. Those that wait on the Lord, he'll renew their strength. In other words, he'll take your fatigue, and he'll give you strength. I told somebody that the other day. I said, just don't depend on your strength. Wait on him. Wait on him does not mean sitting and waiting on the bus. It means look outside of yourself. It's looking outside of yourself and saying, God, quicken my body. I told somebody something? But I would come in church sometime, I had no sleep at all. Didn't sleep at all. I said, Holy Spirit, I want you to give me supernatural strength. I want you to give me quick in my body. Help me to go through these services, and then Pete and I are going to go out and eat after church, and then we're going to go to the movies. I need to do all of it. I'm going to fall asleep, and then help me to get back home. Because I done fell asleep on the wheel, and that is not a good thing. That is not a blessing. So you have to ask the Spirit of God to give you strength. Because the enemy try to get you tired in your mind. Does that make sense to you? Okay, let's look at the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches is economic pursuits. They're what?
They're economic pursuits.
Now, I want to talk, I'm a prosperity preacher. You know, I believe that God wants his people to prosper. And I teach it all the time. God wants his people to prosper. So let's take a quick look at that. And then I'm going to tell you the con, if you will, to believing in prosperity. But let's look at some. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to what?
His riches.
Come on, say God is rich.
God is rich.
Okay, so we see God is rich. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us
richly
all things to what? So God is rich. There are some rich folk in the world because it says that, right? And these are Christians he's writing to, so it might as well be you. I mean, think about it. If somebody's going to be rich, why, it might as well be you. And then notice what it says, that God giveth us richly all things to what? So we see God doesn't, is not opposed to us being rich. Some Christians don't know what word rich means. So look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Let me show you what the Bible means when it says rich. It says, no, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Okay. And God is able to make all grace what?
Abound toward you.
See, the word abound, that mean abundance toward you, so that you always have an all sufficiency in all things may what?
Abound.
See, notice the word abound is mentioned twice. Yes. Abound toward you, and notice it's abound toward every good work. See, rich simply means now to have an abundance for yourself and abundance to give. That's what rich simply means. It means to have an abundance for you and abundance to give, the abundance to establish the kingdom, abundance to help your family, abundance to give to the needy, abundance to give to the poor. God wants you to have an abundance to help other folk. That's what rich literally means. Now, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, and let's go up to verse 17 and watch. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, watch this, who giveth us what? Richly all things to. Why? Here's the why to the rich. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You can't give what you don't have. But if you're rich, you have an abundance, then you can be rich in good works. You can do a lot of good for people if you're rich. That's the whole purpose of it. Okay, now, I wanted to, that's the essence of the prosperity, if people want to call it that, the prosperity message. God wants his people to prosper, and we see why. He's concerned about you as his child, but he's also concerned that you be a channel of blessing so that the resources in you just not stick to you, but it flows out of you, establish his work in the earth, and be a blessing to others. Can you see that? When you teach people prosperity, they make a mistake sometimes, okay? And they step over into the deceitfulness of riches. And it's a perversion. Okay, it's a perversion because they didn't listen accurately. Now, let's look at the deceitfulness of riches. What is it? What does the scripture mean? Notice it didn't say riches. It says the what?
Deceitfulness
of riches. And I say that these are economic pursuits. So the word deceitful there means a delusion. Okay? It means a false appearance, a deception, a lure. Something that attracts in a deceptive way. Something that appears to be one way, but it's not. In other words, listen at this. The fisher does not use bait to bless the fish. Boy, that went straight across y'all head. That was a curveball. It just went straight. See, the fisherman does not use bait to bless the fish. No. When that fish be swimming around there and see that bait on that, the fish can't see the hook. Mm-hmm. All it can see is the bait, right? So it's a delusion. It appears to be something that is not. Now he'll find out when he get in the frying pan that it, you know, right? Now watch this. So the deceitfulness of riches, watch this, are economic pursuits that promise a reward, promise promotion, promise increase that never materialize. Or it looked like a blessing on the surface, but it turned out to be detrimental. Or it's an open door that God didn't open. And it can be a job off. It can be a job offer. It can be a promotion. It can be educational goals. It can be business investment opportunities. But it's pulling the believer away from the word. Now, here's how I've seen it work, and this is not the only way it works. You have people in an environment where they're being taught. I mean, they're being blessed, and they're growing, and they hear pastor, God wants you to prosper. God's wanting to prosper. Now, watch this. And they believe in God for increase, okay? And then they get this job offer. And that job offer in Who Did It, Texas, okay? Who Did It, Texas? Okay, and they come up there and say, pastor, I got the job offer. God want me to prosper. So they take the job offer in Who Did It, Texas, get to Who Did It, Texas. Ain't no church nowhere. Ain't nothing nowhere. So now they got $20,000 more increase, and they in Who Did It, Texas. And he have effectively separated them from where they were growing, what they were increasing. So are you saying they should have took the job? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. yeah. I'm saying that it was a door that God didn't open. Because when God opens a door, he's not going to take from you. If you're growing spiritually, you're supposed to live out of your spirit. Man shall live by the word and not by bread. You're supposed to be living out of your spirit. So what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to believe for an opportunity of increase that does not take you from the word. And if it's an opportunity that's somewhere else, it's going to be some word there. Because God is not going to lead you somewhere where you're going to dry up. I've seen people take jobs. They can't come to church at all no more. Think about it. You can't come to church at all. No time. And you got this great job and you can't come at all. And God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Does that make sense? So it's an economic pursuit, but it separated you from the word. But not only that, sometimes it separates you from other priorities. I wouldn't take a job where I could never see my wife. Think about it. I'm going to take a job and now He is this, and we never see each other. Why would God give me a job that take away from a priority like that? It's a priority. My marriage is a priority, God. My kids never see me. But God gave me a job that took me away from my kids. So it's an economic pursuit, but it took you away from a relationship priority. Does that make sense to you? So anything that takes you away, it's a false appearance. God will get, Satan will give you $20,000 up front and kill you later. Does that make sense? Did that make sense to you? Okay, so you have to be looking at these opportunities, and you have to be asking God about the opportunity, because God can see behind the appearance of it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't take opportunities. I'm just saying every opportunity is not God, is not an offer from God. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you can see now, if you're not careful, you just hear the prosperity part and you just going, and really you end up being led by money. I see it happening all the time. I just see it happening all the time. And it's good stuff. It's not bad stuff. It's not people taking bad jobs. You know what I mean? It's not like they're going into prostitution or nothing like that or selling drugs. But it's an economic pursuit, deceitfulness of riches, deceive. It was deceiving. It was a false appearance. It looked to be a blessing, but it wasn't. Does that make sense? And it separated them from the word. Amen. Now let's look at the third distraction. The third distraction is the lust of other things. And this is enjoyments. Okay, right now, think about things that you enjoy. The word lust doesn't always relate to sex, okay? The word lust, that means a passionate desire, something that you crave, something that you really enjoy doing that is legitimate in nature, okay? In other words, these are things that you enjoy doing that take you away from the word. Can I give you some illustrations?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Can I give you some illustrations? Okay, watch this. Video games. How many? You like video? How many like video games? You like video games, man? Pushing back there, pushing. You like video games? Okay. Video game. Look at you. Hush. He gonna be one of our ushers. Okay. Do you like video games? Okay. I saw your hand. Okay. Video games. TV. Okay, got some TV. Look at y'all act like you don't like no TV. Okay. Sports and recreation. Because football season coming up, right? We count down, ain't we, right? Okay. The computer. How many spend time on the computer? Okay. Internet. Social media. I didn't know how much time you can spend on Facebook till I got on Facebook. When I got on Facebook, I said, man, I can't be spending all this time. I can't spend all this time. Spend all this time being nosy. I ain't getting nothing. Out of it. Just spending time. You look up and you don't spend hours getting nothing. But, you know, an enjoyment can be church work, too.
Yeah.
Can't it?
Yeah.
Let me ask a question, and then I'm going to give you symptoms of the fact that you have a busy disorder. Some Christians have a busy disorder. Some Christians are too busy. Some Christians are too important. I look at people all the time. They got their cell phone. They on their cell phone all the time. Just too very, very too important. Okay. Let me ask you. Let me tell you symptoms of a distraction disorder. When you're extremely busy, workaholism, constant worry, ongoing frustration, feeling overwhelmed by responsibilities, spiritual boredom. Because if you get busy long enough, you're going to get bored spiritually. Lack or loss of intimacy with God, addictive behavior, and the choice of drugs today is the internet and social media, and materialism is not having or wanting things. Something's wrong with you if you don't want some things. Boy, that threw somebody right there. Like, I mean, you look at me like, where are you going with that? Now, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, all these things. So there's nothing wrong with having things. What is materialism? Materialism is trying to meet emotional and spiritual needs with material things. Those are the people who get their value out of brand names. They need this to feel better about themselves. Nothing wrong with brand names. I ain't against brand names. But if you need that to feel good about you, if that gives you self-esteem, if this kind of car, and I like nice cars, so I got some nice cars, but if that gives you self-esteem, it makes you feel good, you feel important because you have that, then you're over into materialism because now you're trying to satisfy a spiritual need through a thing. Does that make sense?